Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Toncast with your host, Darren Toonder. Happy Taco Tuesday, actually. We have a friend out here, a new friend, named Todd Robert Anderson.
Hi.
How you doing, Darren? Todd?
Hey.
Happy Taco Tuesday to you.
Thanks. I love tacos, and I love Tuesdays.
Well, I hope you and your family will go out and enjoy a happy taco tonight.
We probably won't.
You don't have taco night, huh?
We have big plans tonight. We're actually going with Middle Eastern food tonight.
On Taco Tuesday.
We're mixing it up because it's a special Tuesday because it's my birthday today. So we're celebrating my birthday with
Happy birthday!
Thank you. Thank you.
I can't think of anything more happier than Middle Eastern food.
I love a baba ganoush.
A baba ganoush is good?
Yeah.
You know, I just
shawarma.
I think Middle Eastern isn't very fattening, because I was recently in Dubai for like I think it was 12 days shooting something, and my show was actually on location in Dubai, and I was eating a bunch of food. Came back, I actually lost weight.
You lost weight?
Yeah.
What show were you shooting in Dubai?
I was actually shooting this very show. It's the Toncast.
Oh, you were doing the Toncast?
Yeah. We couldn't have you then, so.
No, I can't. I'm not allowed in Dubai.
No, but you love the food.
I love their food.
It's good times.
I get the food shipped, but they won't allow me into the city.
You know, why is that?
Because of a Mucinex commercial that they ran.
They do not like drugs out there.
No, they're weird about it.
I was afraid to bring anything out there, even my Ike Flintstone vitamins, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're nothing. Really down on drugs. Yeah.
Well, I heard Dino.
And
do,
the voice of T.J. Miller.
The T.J. Miller.
It's
they
super
do not.
Weird.
No.
They don't like drugs or T.J. Miller's voice.
You know, that's what I'm thinking is, though, as I'm sitting here talking about Taco Tuesday and Middle Eastern food, I'm thinking, like, there's no, like, you got Hump Wednesday. No, Wednesday is Hump Day, right?
Yeah, that's the middle of the week.
Middle
so
of
they
the
call
week,
it the Hump
Day.
You're getting
day,
over the Hump of the week.
Exactly.
It's
then,
not about fucking.
No.
When I first heard it, I thought that meant you had to fuck.
Well, I tried to convince a girlfriend about that. She wasn't having anything
wasn't
to do with
though.
It. No.
You had to wait till Thursday.
Well, that's the thing. It's Thirsty Thursday. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of Thirsty Thursday. Someone just told
is
me
is that
this.
When you go out and get drunk on a Thursday?
I think so, yeah.
Seems reasonable. It's,
absolutely. But then Friday's TGIF.
Thank God.
Right.
It's Friday.
Then,
because you had to get over Hump Wednesday and Thursday. You probably took place in a Taco Tuesday, so that's a lot to get through.
That is a lot to get
so
through.
So thank God it's Friday. I don't have to do any of that shit.
We can have a timeout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just rest.
Or if you want to, you know, a little hair from the dog that bit you.
Yeah, you have some tacos and humps and drinks.
Drinks, right? But then what's Saturday?
Saturday
is just wild card.
It depends whether or not you're Jewish. It's either the Sabbath or it's just
Saturday.
It's just a day off.
For us Gentiles,
you have to wait till Sunday for the Sabbath.
But then what is that? But what do you call Saturday then?
Saturday is the day before you go to church.
The day before you go to church.
That's what it's called officially in the Christian
religion. But then and then Sunday's like what? Mimosas or
yeah, you should have
Bloody
a mimosa.
Mary Sunday.
Mimosas and donuts.
Mimosas and donuts.
Yeah, after Mass. You go to Mass,
yeah.
And then you go and get some donuts and some mimosas.
Nobody does that anymore, really.
No.
Go to Mass. I'm not talking about donuts and mimosas, because everybody
I used to go to Mass when I was a kid, and in the summertime, I used to really look forward to it.
Yeah.
Because after church, you know, we'd go out for donuts.
Yeah. Well, that's what we did, donuts sometimes, and then sometimes we go to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, you got Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's when Kentucky Fried Chicken was like a sit-down restaurant.
You know, I had a fever dream that Norm MacDonald was Colonel Sanders.
That's a horrible dream.
I woke up and so I was sweating.
It was like a fever dream.
I thought I was dying. When
oh,
I
really?
Up. Yeah.
Because of Norm MacDonald?
Because I had a fever.
And
it created a terrible dream.
Then
I woke up with a start.
And was Norm MacDonald now on your TV when you woke up?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay.
No, he wasn't.
Because I think I'm having the same fever dream. Though.
I've heard a lot of people, it's like going around. Yeah.
You know,
it's weird.
I would think Daryl Hammond would be a good choice for that.
They should have stuck with Hammond.
They should have stuck with Hammond. I wonder what he did.
He was only on a few of them. And
yeah,
then
but, like, what happened?
And...
What's the... I want to know if there's, like, any conspiracy between that. Or
is what I don't... What I don't understand is they're, like... They're a simple concept for this Fever Dream ad campaign is we'll put... I'm speaking as a man who's done a couple of Kentucky Fried Chicken commercials in the past.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I saw the one with the little sandwich that you did.
Directed by David O. Russell.
Get out of here!
Yeah, director of
did
Joy.
Did you have to punch him like George Clooney
No,
did?
He was very pleasant. Oh, I don't think he gave a shit about the commercial. He was just collecting a check, so he was totally pleasant.
Okay.
I think he gets that way when he's passionate.
Or maybe the chicken really made him, the Kentucky Fried Chicken really...
I think he just wanted to get out of there, and if he started pitching fits, it would have extended the day.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know if you've ever worked, you know, on a commercial with a director who yells a lot, you know, and throws fits, but the day stretches out as a result.
So it seems like you've had many of those experiences.
I've worked with a few. Yeah, sure. But I've never worked with Michael Bay, although I hear
what's Michael Bay doing commercials for, though?
He used to always do commercials. He probably still does, yeah.
I heard he's really... Yeah, they like these...
That's how he cut his teeth in commercials.
Oh, really?
That's why all of his movies, they really only play well in 30-second intervals.
Everything's always spinning.
Yeah, it took me like 4 or 5 years to finish Transformers because I was only watching it at 30 seconds at a time.
Do you have a good horror story about a yelling director?
Yeah, I mean,
Who's the worst? What's the worst thing that's ever happened with you and a director yelling?
Well, I've never. You know, it's funny. I've never been yelled at. I've been on sets where the directors are yelling at other people. Mm-hmm. But I think that type of director can smell, you know, fear. Like an attack dog.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're, like, afraid or uneasy, he'll lay into you. But if you're looking at him like, give me a fucking reason to walk, pal.
Exactly.
Give me a reason.
Sometimes you just got to do Looney Tune thing where you just draw the line.
The line in the sand.
Exactly.
So you can cross it if you want. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, I've, you know, no particular story, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I did work on one where the guy was yelling and... He said racist things to a black actress.
Oh, I thought it was like to
fat shamed
because you are a ginger. And I am a ginger. Like...
People are generally pretty respectful of ginger.
So you never experienced any anti-gingerites?
I think that they're quick.
That's
to,
a word.
Anti-gingerites.
Anti-gingerites.
If you're a ginger, you're a gingerite.
Exactly.
I think that the people are quick to not hire a ginger just to avoid it altogether. But if they hire a ginger, they know what they're getting into, and they treat you with kid gloves out of concern that your fiery temper will light, you know, and you'll cause trouble.
Well, you know, they must be liking you because you work quite a lot.
Yeah, I can't.
So there, you
I
never
can't
get
explain
the
anti-gingerite
that. Backlash or. You haven't been experiencing that.
Not a lot. I'm more theatrically than commercially. Mm. What if for whatever reason in commercials they love the redheads?
Yeah.
But everywhere else, not so much.
Maybe it's because you don't have as many freckles as because you know I know gingers tend to freckle.
Yeah. Well, that's what gives me my edge as a gingerite is my lack of freckles.
Your lack of freckles.
Yeah. Because I do not go out in the sun ever.
Really?
Under any circumstance.
Well, it's not very healthy, supposedly.
No, it'll give you the cancer.
Well, yeah, nobody wants the cancer. So we have another ginger just walked into
the... There's a ginger cat, two ginger cats.
There's two... Sorry, that's...
One ginger cat is attacking the door frame.
Yeah.
As you do. And then there's another ginger cat watching that cat attack the door frame.
I mean, if they're coming...
Ron, don't fucking chew on that wire, you moron. That ginger cat, he's a boy, and that's the girl. And then there's another ginger cat somewhere else. But they're brother and sister, these two. We just got them. But he pulled... Did you ever see National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Did you ever see that?
Yes, I did.
You remember the part where the cat chewed through
and got electrocuted and blasted it off?
Tree lights?
Yeah.
Our cat did the fucking same thing.
See, that was cat. One of the... Anytime... You know what's crazy? I have this thing with cats. Anytime a cat gets blown up or something happens to a cat or a friend of mine's cat passed away, I felt so bad, but I couldn't help but laughing because they said he... This is terrible.
Uh-huh.
Because he has this rocking chair in his place.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I was like, where's... I'm not going to say his name. We'll call him Fred. Well, where's Fred?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, he's at home because his cat just died. And I just pictured him on this rocking chair with this dead cat across his head. Just petting this
just
dead
mourning
cat.
And saying his goodbyes.
Terrible. Because cats are kind of assholes. I mean, they just think they're kind of better than you and better than me. And half the time, I think they're right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't have that. People have that thing about cats. And then, like, dogs are sweet and all that. Yeah. I like dogs a lot. But I don't feel that way about cats. I mean, there is, like, bitchy cats. But there are asshole dogs. It's just... I think that's like a speciesist thing.
Speciesist?
Yeah, like racist, but about species. A speciesist.
I think because everybody's like a cat person or a dog person.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. I think you can just like both cats and dogs, but people like really like to stick to their camp.
It's like Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, it really is.
No, it's cats. No, it's dogs. Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. People are really, if they're pro dog, they're anti cat.
Yeah,
and vice versa. Often,
you know, we're talking about cats. I don't know if you've seen this.
I don't know either.
Have you seen what everybody's talking about? This making of a murder.
Yeah, I heard that's overrated.
You haven't seen it?
No. No, I don't. Oh. I'm not.
You're not into murders.
I'm not into true crime. I didn't like those. I understand why they were good and interesting, and I'm not saying they weren't well made or whatever. But I just found like the Paradise Lost. I watched that first one, you know.
Yeah.
And I found it unpleasant. And I don't know. It's just that stuff creeps me out. I did see that same guy who made Paradise Lost before that made Brother's Keeper.
Oh, I never saw those. Haven't seen those two.
Which I liked. It's super creepy, though.
Brother's Keeper.
But that's about...
Wait, what makes it so creepy?
Well, do you know what it's about?
No.
All right, it's about these old dudes who live up in Maine. And they're inbred hicks.
Yeah.
And they all, like, sleep together in the same bed on their farm. You know, they farm, and then they sleep together in the same bed.
All right.
And then one of them dies.
Do you ever get to see the bed?
You see
like
the bed.
How big is that bed?
You see the bed and the brothers. It's not a big bed. And you kind of get the sense that they're pleasuring each other, the elder brothers.
Fun. Yeah.
And then one of them is killed.
Uh-huh.
And so the other brothers are on trial for killing their brother.
Brother.
But one of the things
to make room
one
for
of the
bed.
Defenses is that he was sick. But they didn't have a doctor, you know. They didn't go to doctors. But they think, like, a lot of the townspeople were like, I'm pretty sure he was dying of cancer or something.
Yeah.
And he was really sick and in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
So they think that the brothers mercy killed the brother. But then they went on trial for murder and all that. But then basically, and like the whole town rallied behind them, basically like, why don't we just leave them alone? It's their family.
They didn't hurt anybody.
They didn't kill anyone.
Exactly.
Kill anyone out of the family. Let's not.
Well, that just, you know, teaches patience, too. Because if they just had a little patience,
yeah, exactly.
You would have been gone
anyway.
It
would have gone, yeah, anyway. Yeah. So it's weird, but it's super weird because they're, like, super hicky and, like, the whole thing is creepy.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a creep element to just the backwoods kind of town.
And did they go to...
I've spent some time in backwoods towns in Maine, and they can be a little bit...
Or you... No, 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 no.
A little bit creepy.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this was kind of... Same thing. It was in Wisconsin, and these just people who live on the lot. And this guy who got, you know, charged for raping somebody and was wrongly charged and comes back.
Right.
He's out for 2 years after being in
jail. And then he murders somebody,
And
right.
he murders somebody. And so, you know, I'm trying to get... I live under a rock. And I'm trying to get out from under that rock.
You're trying
people
to
are, like,
experience
getting pop culture.
You new know what I mean? Thing. Like, you're trying to be... so you can, like, say things on Twitter.
Exactly. Or you know, have something to talk about on my show, which
I
don't because you haven't seen it.
Right. Well, I look forward to hearing the episodes that
you
did in Dubai.
It was that was just actually I was between the show. I was shot a film.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you were there. You were doing the podcast and shooting a film.
Yes.
At the same time. What's the film?
The film was called The Two Bellmen. Part two.
The Two Bellman part two.
Part two, yes. There was
There was a Two Bellman one, or was it just one Bellman?
It was two, well, yeah, you would think, but no, it was Two Bellman, and now there's
a second movie about the same Two Bellman.
Exactly. You know?
And is it a Dubai production?
It was actually,
for that marketplace?
Well, as you know how a lot of these corporations are, instead of making commercials that interrupt your Hulu, you know, as you're watching online, and then you get frustrated with that. They're making content like cool movies and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
To sit there and go, oh, that's kind of, you know, their product is all over the place.
Right.
And so Marriott did this thing with the Two Bellman, the first one,
mm-hmm.
that these people created for them. And it ended up getting like 6 million hits or something like that on YouTube. And so they financed another one.
Oh, right.
And these people who saw me in this show, the 7th annual one-man show world championship, they said, oh, that guy would be good. And so...
And they called you? They called it was me like an offer?
Well, that's the thing. I was sit down with the director, and we're talking, and he's like, you know, I was going to have you read for it, but you seem perfect for the thing. You want to go to Dubai? Mm. I'm like, let me think about that. Yes!
Yes, I'll go to Dubai.
But it was... There was... They flew me business class on Emirates.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard about this plane?
No.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, at first it's double decker. I mean, I went on,
Were you on the upper deck or the lower
deck? The upper deck.
Because you were in business class.
I was business class.
You were in the fancy place.
It was fantastic. I mean, you walk in there, you have your own little, like, cubicle.
Your own space.
I've got beverages to my right. I've got the TV screen is like a big old flat screen right in front of you.
Yeah.
And then they've got these chairs that just go all the way down so you can sleep in there. Like,
how long's that flight?
It was 16 hours and some change. And let me tell you something right now. Flying business class on Emirates for 16. I would rather take that 16 hour and some change flight, flying business class on Emirates, than just flying 5 hours. You know, coach from L.A. to Philly, let's say.
Right.
It was fantastic.
Because it was luxurious.
It was, I felt like somebody important.
And how was the food? How was the food?
The food was fantastic. I mean, they had a menu that had, you know, it said lunch, dinner, breakfast, and light bites. I'm like, what are light bites? And it was like little mini cheesesteak or something like that. It was fantastic. You know, and then there was something on there where I was like, hey, what's prawn? And the flight attendant was like, oh, you're such an American, because I didn't know what prawn was. And
Shrimp?
Yeah, shrimp. So I got this thing, and I'm like, oh, I guess you just call this, in first class, you call shrimp prawn. But then I later found out prawn is just a fancier something of shrimp.
Well, there's that Muppets character, Pepe, who...
Is he a prawn or is he a shrimp?
Well, he says, I'm a king prawn. When people say you're a shrimp, he says, I am not a shrimp, I am king prawn. Which is funny.
I know which character you're talking about.
Well, he's like awesome. A newer one. He was introduced. What? He was in the Muppets from Space movie, the much maligned, and I think
the one who talks like this. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It could be chocolate. Okay.
I will smack you like a bad donkey. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's on the new TV show. So I like that guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the funniest Muppet. It's like it's sacrilege to say that because he was invented post Jim Henson.
Oh yeah,
he's not a Jim Henson
creation.
He's like a you know
he's not
later.
Spawned
he was
from yeah.
He was not King Spawned.
King Spawned
by the king. But
yeah.
I think he's really funny.
Yeah. Well, have you watched that new Muppet show?
Yeah, I did.
I heard that it's very like adult humor as opposed. They've lost the innocence of the Muppets. I don't know if that's true.
Well, that
like Kermit is just banging everybody in the is.
They went. You can still watch it with like an older kid, like a 9-10-year-old, because like the old Muppets had its racy stuff too.
Yeah,
the humor was geared for adults, so it was one of those things where it was designed to entertain children.
Yeah,
with the slapstick and the music and all that, but also have enough of these satirical jokes and maybe some off-color jokes to. Entertain the adults.
Mm.
And that's the new one, I guess, is more of an adult setting than a kid setting because it's like The Office.
Yeah.
It's like behind the scenes at a late night talk show. But, you know, and it was, you know, people weren't crazy about it, but I thought it was fine.
So it got, is it, still on, or did it
get canceled? No, I don't think so. So I mean, I don't know if it got canceled, but it was, if only there was a way to find out. But I did watch all the episodes that aired before the holidays.
Yeah.
But it might have just been like a 10-episode season or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Speaking of TV, so you're doing, I saw that you're doing a bunch of those TV shows, You're the Worst.
I've been on a bunch of shows. A couple of the writers of You're the Worst wrote on The Muppets, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, who is the worst?
You're the Worst? People ask that a mostly. Lot. I think like the absolute worst character on the show. You mean character, right? Not worst actor.
You can answer that any way you want. I'm kidding.
I would say that my character's wife is probably the worst. Person. Becca, as portrayed by the wonderful and not worst Janet Varney.
Yeah.
Her character's really, she's just awful.
Yeah.
I would say she's the worst.
That must be fun just playing these people who are just awful people. Because they always say, most actors say, oh, playing the villain is always
so much
more fun than being the hero.
That's true. And everybody's really good on the show. But they're all very, real in their
assholiness.
In their assholishness. Like, and the thing about the show that's kind of cool is it does have this weird heart, sort of like, that movie Bad Santa? Did you ever see that? With
Billy
Bob Thornton?
Yeah.
I mean, he's awful, like, right basically to the end, but then there's like a heart, there's like a humanity to him, and then he does like a couple of weird, almost nice things, and it's kind of sweet in its horrible way. So this, like, has this romantic undertone. It's like people behaving really badly towards each other, but there's like a sweetness underneath.
Sounds like a normal Coast family, the sarcasm. I mean, I don't know where you grew up, but knowing a lot of families on the East Coast, there's something like a sarcasm to them, like, and they just kind of
it's always true. Irish thing too.
Yeah.
There's like an Irish, definitely growing up in my family, which
was
a lot of Irish and Scottish.
Yeah.
Background it. Yeah, it's like a ribbing. There's a ribbing quality.
Tough love. Have you been to the motherland?
I have been to Ireland.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Where did you go when you were?
Or
have you just been once, twice, many times?
We started in Cork. Just once.
That's just a good place to start.
We started in Cork. Yeah, well, we just heard there was a lot of good traditional, Irish music. Trad music.
Yeah, but it's not the
hipsters call it.
But not like the, oh, Danny boy. I'm talking, was it like reels and kind of a jam kind of a thing? Or is it just those slow songs?
No. Like jam traditional.
Yeah.
Like with crazy fast guitars and sometimes flutes and sometimes accordions. Yeah,
wow,
and
they
go nuts. Yeah.
Well, that's when I fell in love with Irish music.
Yeah.
When it was going up.
Well, I used to go in New York. I used to go see a band called The Chanting House.
The Chanting House.
That was their name, and they were so good. Like, actually, to this day, I think the best traditional Irish band I ever heard. But the lady who ran it, Susan McCown, like, called her musicians.
Yeah.
For, like, proper Irish people who were in New York trying to make it. And they're all in trad bands in Ireland. And one of them, like, Eileen Ivers, she did the Lord of the Dance.
Oh, yeah.
She was the fiddler and the
Lord
of the band. So she used to be in that band, and they were so good. So that's what we were going for. So we started in Cork, and then we kind of road tripped up the southwest coast.
That's what when I went over, that's what everybody told me. They said, you're going to be in Ireland for a week, do the west coast.
So yeah.
Doing like the Ring of Kerry and the Aran Islands and
Cliffs of Moher. Yeah,
which were the Cliffs of Insanity.
Sure, yeah. We were there, and then we were in, what was it called? Dingle. I think they were changing the
name. They just have great names. Cork.
Dingle. And then we wound up spending day. We were only like going to stay a night or two in this little town called Doolin.
Yeah.
But we wound up spending like 4 or 5 days of our vacation there because
Doolin's. I know exactly what. I was in Doolin.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's just like two bars and a hostel, right?
Well, there's a few bed and breakfasts, yeah. There's a few, like, bed and breakfasts. But there's a hostel, and then I think there's I think there's two bars on one side of town, and then two bars on the other side of town, on the other end.
Oh, I must have been only on one, because there was, like, a bar here and a bar here, and then a hostel up the road, and then that's all I saw it doing.
Yeah, there's, like, three or four bars, but there's, like, two are on one end.
Is so great.
The trad music's great, but the other thing about it is the bed and breakfasts, like, there's multiple houses where, you know, you can rent a room, and they have really good breakfasts. And they all become like 5-star dining restaurants in the evening, and it was the only good food we had in all of Ireland. Was in Doolin.
I was about to say you must have been eating right, because every place I ate in Ireland, it was.
But that's what I'm saying.
It was good. It was Canadian bacon. That was it.
Doolin,
it was the Canadian bacon. Everything
like,
else.
Doolin was great for food.
Yeah,
that's part of the reason we stayed. It was also like storybook Ireland and very pretty.
It's
and
just
great traditional
and
music.
And then the people there.
Yeah, and the people were cool.
I mean, you know, when we were sitting in this bar and there was this great Irish band. I mean, the guy, the lead singer and guitarist, he's missing a whole leg.
Mm.
And then they were just jamming, and then, you know, we're sitting on the floor and listening to this great music, and then this woman comes up to my brother's, me and my brother went, and she grabs him by the shoulder, and he looks over, and when she grabbed him, she only had, like, three fingers, and he looks up, and she's missing an eye, and has, like, only very few teeth, and she goes, "In Ireland we dance! We dance!" And we were both like, "Ah!"
And you danced.
We danced.
Out of terror.
Absolutely.
You terror danced.
There was like some Irish magic in her, I'm sure. Like, you know, some sort of witchcraft or something.
Yeah.
I mean, someone who's, you know, missing an eye and kind of speaks like that, they've got something going on.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
Yeah, you don't, that's... Mm-hmm.
But even the people there were great. I mean, every other word was a curse word.
Sure.
But it was fantastic.
Yeah.
They're just fantastic people.
Yeah, they were great. One of the things that would have, like when we were in Dingle, a number of Irish people, you know, because that's like a big tourist town too with a lot of trad music. And they had some good restaurants there, or like purportedly good restaurants, and they were fancy and they were nice. Like but then you get the food and it was fucking bland as the rest of the goddamn country.
But
I was like, that's like a $30 steak tastes like dirt. I'm like, why are we?
That's maybe I'm thinking about that lady again. You don't eat in Ireland, you drink.
Well, that I think that's the thing. It's like they only have the food to create the bed in your stomach for the mass amounts of Guinness that you're going to drink.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, every day was eating bland food and then bloating up with Guinness.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's like any country if you're willing to spend. Because, like, again, going back to Dubai, if you know, you went to some places and the food was, but if you're willing to spend a little bit of money...
That's true, but I also found that the expensive places in Ireland were also awful. Everything was awful. That's what I'm saying. That's why we stayed in Doolin for so long, because the food was actually really good there.
Well,
I don't know why.
I'm trying to think, is like, which countries do you think of when you're like, yeah, I would never want to eat there? Because I'm thinking like Scotland. I would never want to eat in Scotland. Ireland is...
I like Scottish food, though.
Haggis? You like the haggis?
I had haggis once. It's fine, but I like Scotch eggs. You know,
What's a Scotch egg?
Oh, so good, man! You've never had a Scotch egg?
I don't know if they're going to be as good as Armenian eggs, but
it's the best.
What's a Scottish egg?
It's like I don't know how to describe it, but it's like everything from a good breakfast, all wrapped around an egg, and like fried. You know,
I'm intrigued, but I need to know like
so. It's like
details.
There's like the thing that surrounds with like which is essentially a hard boiled egg, I guess. Yeah. But I think it's got to. They must hard boil the egg and then they wrap it in this thing and then they fry it. So the batter they wrap it in has like sausage in it, and like corn, maybe cornbread or something.
Yeah.
So it's got like that sweet and spicy thing, and it's all around an egg. So and it tastes like a heart attack. I mean, it's like good. You're like, this is my arteries are hardening. Apparently, really, the Scottish farmers really liked them because you make a bunch in the morning.
Yeah.
And they keep their shape. So you just put them in your pocket. And so when you get hungry later on, you have some.
It's like a loaf of some. It's like a. Because it's around a hard boil. You said.
It's around a hard-boiled egg. Yeah, it's round, but it's really good.
So it's just, okay, so it's like looks like a little grenade or something.
It looks like a little grenade.
That you just munch on.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
It's super good.
But, you know, I gotta say, I think my favorite breakfast is breakfast meal is I'm breakfast burrito. We're having a discussion about the like what's the best breakfast meal you could think of.
Well, man, I mean, my favorite breakfast meal is Eggs Benedict.
That is a pretty damn good dish.
I like that.
However,
yeah. Or if you did get it with the salmon and the spinach instead of the ham, it's really good too.
Well, either
with eggs Florentine, I guess.
Eggs Florentine with the spinach, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't know if you ever make those at home or anything like this, but my sister-in-law makes the best Eggs Benedict because instead of the English muffin, she uses, you know, those Pillsbury flaky muffins?
Sure, yeah, like the grands.
Yeah, I think so.
Buttermilk
flaky biscuits that you just can rip open the hot steam.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
She uses those
that's smart.
English McMuffin.
The English muffin, yeah.
Which I find tough and crispy.
That's a good point. I think the hardest part about Eggs Benny can be the cutting of the ham more than the English muffin.
Sometimes the ham
is hard to get.
You're cooking with the wrong ham then.
I never make my own Eggs Benedict. That's something I get when I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing is, like, if it's hard to cut through ham.
Well, it's a big, thick, proper piece of ham. It's not like a processed.
You're talking
cold cut. It's like real ham. It's like ham that's cut off the side of a ham.
Yeah, but
it's
ham. I've never had a tough time cutting through ham, though. I mean, I don't know if you have weak wrists or something. But
I do have
very weak wrists.
I have very weak wrists. It's a condition. It's like a really minor kind of rickets.
Oh, so really?
It only affects the wrists. You have to be very careful.
You walk around like Mr. Burns. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, they're very easily bent.
So does the wife then have to cut your ham for you, or does you get the kid to do it?
Either one. Whoever's around.
They take turns.
Yeah, they take turns. Do you want to cut Dad's ham? No, I don't.
Who wants to cut Dad's ham?
Whose turn is it to cut Dad's ham? Yeah, so, yeah. Okay.
But Eggs Benedict is a good... That's
what I'm saying.
Eggs Benedict, breakfast burrito are pretty...
I'll take a Scotch egg after Eggs Benedict, I'm telling you. So that shit's good. And you only need one.
Yeah.
It's like a wildly... Like, when we went to the Scottish place in New Hampshire with my parents, I'd never had one. I was like, oh, I'll get a Scotch egg. What's that about?
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I got these eggs. I better order a couple of these things. So I got through one. I was like, I can't eat another fucking Scotch egg.
They're filling.
They're wildly filling.
Look how excited you were. That almost sounded like a tagline for a commercial. Like, they're wildly filling.
I feel like
Scottish eggs.
They're wildly filling.
Yeah. But if you're at, that's the thing though. I'm going to give you this option. Let's say you're at one of those hotels, like fancy hotels.
Sure, sure.
Do you go Eggs Benedict or do you go buffet?
Oh, I will go Eggs Benedict. I'm not a buffet guy.
Really? Even the guy who's making the fresh waffles?
I'll do an omelet bar. I'll consider a waffle bar, but I'm not a big fan of the Belgian waffle.
Yeah.
Unless you make them at home. Because...
You're trying to say you've experienced better Belgian waffles at home than you've had.
I make better Belgian waffles here at home in my double decker Belgian waffle maker.
That's a pretty big talk for a ginger.
It sure is.
I didn't know gingers.
You just got to know what batter to use. You know.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
But you don't like the fact that you can have a cornucopia of. Deliciousness.
But that's the problem, though. The problem is when I make them at home, really, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I pull them off the griddle.
Yeah.
They go right to the table.
Well, that's what they should do
if you order them at the restaurant, the wait staff, they might sit for a couple minutes. And if you get them at the waffle bar, you got to go and put the junk on them. By the time you get back to the table, waffle is cold. They get cold really easily.
They do get cold quick. That's why you get those, like, sometimes you go, because that's the thing, sometimes they'll make it right there on the spot. Like, if you ask them, I want a fresh waffle, I don't want this cold shit.
Well, if they do it right at the table. You know, like there's some Mexican places where they'll mix the guacamole right in front of you?
Yeah.
If that's what they do with a Belgian waffle, then I'll consider it. But so unless...
You want a waffle cart.
A waffle cart.
A waffle cart that comes right up to you.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. If they're going to do that, then I'll consider it. Otherwise, I'm not getting a waffle.
That's okay, so, but what about the guy with the... That's the other thing I love. That guy who's under that, like, red light, who's got the steak or the ham.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, would you like some... And that's the other thing. Would you go, like, I want it all.
See, but I don't like buffets. That's the thing. The food's never that good. Sits out for too long, you know? I'm not a buffet guy. I want to order something, and I want you to bring it to me. The other thing is like a buffet, like, part of the appeal of a buffet is you can go back and have more. I have a plate of fucking food, and I don't want to go back.
But that's the thing. What if you want to just... I mean, we're getting up there, as opposed to in your 20s.
Right.
Like, I don't go to the buffet as much. But when I was in my 20s, oh, fuck yeah.
Well, no, that was different.
It was like, how many times can I keep going back?
Me and my high school buddies used to, you know, because I think it was like the first or second Wednesday of every month, they would have like a faculty meeting, and they'd kick all the kids out. It was a half day.
Yeah.
Half day Wednesdays. So in high school, you know, when we could finally drive, me and my buddies would go to this Asian place. Where it was like a buffet, and it was only like $15 or something, all the Chinese food you could eat. So we would go there. I got diarrhea like every time. But it didn't. Like, and we would all talk about, did you get diarrhea?
I get diarrhea every time, but goddamn, it's so good.
We kept going back. Well, the price was right.
That Mongolian beef is so delicious.
Yeah. And then there was an El Torito's, too, that had like a. Yeah. Sometimes we'd mix it up. We'd go to the El Torito's for a Mexican buffet.
Well, that's the thing. How long can you stay at the Chinese? Because that's the other thing. If you can sit there and hang out a little bit, you know, 2 hours later, you can.
No, that's why this part of it's like it's like after school, you go out for lunch with your buddies, you hang out for a couple hours, you know.
Yeah,
it was
fun. Magic of the buffet.
Yeah, I
got
that.
Never heard of a Chinese buffet. I don't. Well, that's because that's why I don't like the what is it, Panda Express.
That's not Chinese food, though.
Panda Express isn't Chinese food.
Not really. It's like pretend Chinese food.
But that's what I'm assuming.
The place I went to was a real Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
There was, like, pictures of Chinese people all over the house. My friend, when Do the Right Thing came out,
we're not a legitimate Chinese restaurant. I don't see any pictures of any Chinese people.
He would go to this Chinese restaurant and, like, call the manager over and say, why they ain't no brothers on the wall? Which I realize, in retrospect, is horribly racist. But we all thought it was really funny because there weren't any brothers on the wall. It was a bunch of Chinese guys. And the manager never thought it was funny. He would always look like, goddamn kids. Goddamn kids. Just go to the buffet, you assholes. Yeah. Yeah. It was funny at the time, but now that I think about it, horribly racist.
Well, it's not like, you know, not that I'm, you know, I'm thinking like of the 80s. I was sitting there thinking about this because I saw something about C. Thomas Howell. Then I thought about
Soul Man. Oh, horrible.
That could never, ever be made again. You know what I mean? Because the fact that he was like, it's the Cosby decade. You know what?
The fact that it was made at the time, raised flags, red flags.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember seeing that going, what? C. Thomas Howell's wearing blackface so he can get into college? That seems fucked up.
It's terrible. But that's what, you know, but that's what I'm thinking.
But you throw James Earl Jones in there, and that makes it okay.
Fine. What about James Earl Jones? His voice just makes everything nice and soothing.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in
so many wildly racist movies in the 80s.
C. Thomas Howell or James Earl Jones? What was the others?
He was in those Richard Chamberlain, Alan Quartermain movies. It was Chamberlain and Sharon Stone and James Earl Jones. They were like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
One was
a
remake of King Solomon's Mines called King Solomon's Mines.
Yeah.
And the other one was called Alan Quartermain and the Lost City of Gold.
I remember that one.
And they're both unbelievably racist. Like, horribly racist. And they're supposed to be, like, campy and funny, I think.
Yeah.
But it's, like, one of those where they're kind of striving for camp and, like, isn't this hilarious, this, like, racist
there's good
bit.
Campy, and then there's...
I think there's campy. If it's unintentional, if the camp is unintentional, like a Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, they meant for that to be awesome, but it didn't come out.
Well, right. No. Mission accomplished. It was awesome.
It is
awesome. I saw it again.
It's special.
It is awesome.
No, I have a Blu-ray copy and revisit it quite a bit.
As well you should.
It brings me great joy. But it wasn't supposed to be that kind of camp, you know? It's like when people go out of their way to make this is a campy movie.
Yeah.
You know, we've made it campy on purpose. It's like, then it sucks. It's not good. You have to, like, genuinely try and fail to make something good for it to have that kind of camp value,
like,
that matters.
Well, now I'm starting to think of, like, the best worst movies of all time, where it's so unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
It's good.
Like Showgirls.
Ooh. See, I saw that, and I was just like, no, this is just bad.
Oh.
There's some laughing points. No, don't get me wrong. There's some moments where I was like...
Elizabeth
like the
Berkeley
one-
is so good in that movie. She's so... like, her acting is so tone-deaf.
Really? It better than... Who's the guy who played Flash Gordon?
I can't remember his name.
Because his acting was so laughably bad.
Yeah.
I
get what you're saying.
But then when there were some one-liners in there that... Like, who's the guy...
Flash Gordon is like a fantasy character, and he's like a little bit of a goof, you know, and all that. But in Showgirls, like, she's giving 100% dramatic performance.
Yeah.
Like, hardcore. She's really trying to feel all those emotions and the anger that a young showgirl might feel when she gets backstabbed by the older showgirl as portrayed by Gina Gershon. You know, like, and the movie just, most of it just seems like an excuse to have naked ladies, right?
Yeah.
And then there's that sex scene with Kyle MacLachlan and Elizabeth.
Is that the one in the pool?
Which is physically impossible sex.
Exactly.
It's hilarious. And then the movie out of nowhere has, like, Yanni rapes Gina Gershon or the black girl or whatever, whoever got raped, I can't remember. But it's like all of a sudden they're like throwing in a horribly violent rape scene to give this piece of shit weight. Which, to me, makes it even more egregiously awful, and therefore one of the best bad movies ever made.
So that's what you're putting in, is the best bad movie ever made.
I don't know. I can't say that. That just sprung into my mind.
Because, you know, someone say that's my guilty pleasure? Because I don't think that's a guilty pleasure. I just think that's a really bad movie.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating to watch a train wreck level.
One of my favorites
is,
it's so bad, but it's good, is Under the Cherry Moon with Prince.
Oh, yeah, that's
he
terrible.
Wrote it and directed it.
Yeah, and it's in black and white.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Unbelievably.
Yeah.
But Kristen Scott Thomas is in it.
Yeah.
That was her, like, first breakout role.
No, you're right. That is one of the worst... And it's great because
I own that.
Because Prince has written himself as a complete badass, on the page. But there's nothing badass about him in that friggin' movie.
Wow. There are some moments. I mean, how well do you know that movie?
I've only seen it a couple of times, but I remember being like, what? Like, what? He's saying things that I think he thinks make him sound like a macho badass, but his performance is quite the opposite.
When you're wearing ass huggers and a shirt that goes up to your chest, showing off the belly
back. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But, you know, he didn't do that on purpose. That's what I'm saying.
That was the brilliance of maybe.
That's like when Esterhaus and Verhoeven like backpedaled on Showgirls and said, we meant it as a joke. No, you fucking didn't. No, you fucking didn't. And we all know that. And that's why we're fascinated by it.
What was that one line from the dude? He was like her ex-boss. He had the pox. He's got the bad pox skin.
Oh, Robert Davi.
And he goes, must be nice not getting cummed on every night or something like that. Or getting cummed in your face every night.
Yeah.
And he said, so serious and so sincere.
Yeah.
Wow, it really must be
that
nice.
Guy is, every night. That guy is an unapologetic right winger. And he says that he never gets hired anymore because Hollywood's a liberal town and they're prejudiced against him because of his politics. And I didn't hear that from him directly. I just read it. But in my mind, I thought, well, Mr. Davi, how do you explain Bruce Willis then?
Exactly.
How do you explain Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Isn't Vince Vaughn also?
How do you explain Vince Vaughn? At the time, how do you explain Mel Gibson? Now, Mel Gibson's, on the outs. Although they tried to bring him back. Did you watch the Golden Globes?
I love when Ricky Gervais hosts it. Although I didn't like it that much this year when he started doing the when he was acting like he didn't want to be there. I found that lazy.
Yeah.
I found that quite lazy. As opposed to when he's just doing these
digs. When he's ripping people,
Just making fun of the, I don't know if this is a word, pompacity, the pompousness of it all.
Yeah.
Because it really, when he's like, when you get all emotional and win this, it really doesn't mean anything. Now, mind you, at the same time, have you ever won anything for your acting?
I got that plastic gold.
That looks like Kid and Play.
Trophy. It's a fez, a guy with a fez and 3D glasses.
Okay.
It's a Louisiana film festival called Phenom Fest. And
you were a phenom.
A shoestringer that I was in it, and they gave me best actor.
And let me ask you that. Okay, so this plastic award has the kid from Kid and Play hairdo on it.
Well,
you
that's
know what I'm talking
not,
about, right? The high
fez.
Top fade. The high top fade.
That's supposed to be a fez hat.
Oh, that's a fez. No, it's a hat.
Yeah, it's a hat.
Oh, okay.
And it was put on there after the fact because it kept falling off. And I jammed glue onto it to get it to stick back on. And then some of the glue dripped down the side of his face. So now he's got like a big honking tumor on his head.
Yeah, are those ears or is that where the glue? Because they just look like big loogies coming down the side of his face.
Yeah, no, I think that's a glue.
That's the glue?
Yeah.
Did that feel good when they said you came here? You got the Phenom Award. You're
well,
phenomenal.
I wasn't there.
You weren't even present. So who accepted the award for you?
They just sent the trophy to the guy who directed it, and he's like, here's your trophy. And I was
you weren't there, though?
No, I was sad that I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it would have been nice to be there and win an award.
Well, I tell you, because that the summer that seventh annual, I won for this best all around performance of the thing of the festival, and I gotta lie to you, that felt pretty good. But and I know it's not important really to anybody else.
No, it
but
feels
when he's
good,
so when Ricky was like, it's not that important. Trust me, it's not that important. I'm like, and that's why, like, when that one woman was like, I waited 20 years for this shit. You know, you turned that music off, and I was like, you go, girl.
Yeah,
come on
now. Yeah.
As well, you should. But at the same time, there is such a. I find the Oscars more pompous than the Golden Globe. So.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I don't understand about it. Is whether you're talking about the Oscars or the Golden Globes or the Critics' Choice Awards or the even the People's Choice Awards at this point, SAG Awards, Independent Spirit Awards, all these award shows that start after the new year is ushered in up to the Oscars.
Yeah.
Celebrating the same things over and over again, same people over and over again. It's a fucking snooze. It's not interesting.
No.
And I don't... I mean, yeah, it's cool to win awards, but, I mean, also these people, for the most part... I mean, I know there's exceptions. They usually throw an award to some new person or some arbitrary person who may not be, like, super rich. But for the most part, we're talking about millionaires and billionaires getting awards.
Well, did you see
like
that?
I just don't. It, to me, it's more of a celebration of wealth than anything else.
Exactly. Well, and it is. It's like all the attention it gets and everything. And it's just like this. Really, there's so much more important things going on in the world.
Than this.
And that's why you're talking about these millionaires complaining. I don't know if you saw that the whole thing that's going on right now about not as many. Black actors being
not as many.
Like, no, none. Yeah, there's none.
None.
None. None. Black actors being nominated right now.
Right.
And which I gotta tell you, I thought that the what's the name, Jason Mitchell, the guy who played Eazy-E, Straight Outta Compton. Mm-hmm. I thought that was. Did you see that movie?
No, I just got the screener. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's fan. I really enjoyed that movie.
That's the thing about award season. The only thing about award season is I wind up getting all these screeners for movies that I'd never normally see. And exactly. And once a year, there's one that I'm like, oh, that was pretty good.
Well, that's, you know, that's the other thing. Sometimes you go, you know what? I feel that's gonna be some award-winning film. I'm going to hold off until I get the screen. Because I wanted to go see Straight Outta Compton because I kept hearing all these great things about it. But then I went, you know, I keep hearing these great things about it. I'm going to save myself $15. And I'm going to wait for that to come.
Yeah, I'm just not. I didn't go because I have no. I'm sure it is a good movie, you know, but drama's not my favorite genre of film, and that's all the award stuff is serious, depressing shit. And you know, I don't really care about NWA. Is that I mean, like, I never was into NWA, or like, my wife was more into that shit than I was.
Oh, yeah,
so she's got more.
She didn't drag you there,
Didn't want to see it, so I didn't want to see it. So I didn't. Now we have the screener, we'll probably look at it eventually. But I have screeners from 3-4 years ago that I haven't looked at. I still haven't seen that Matthew McConaughey AIDS movie. I tried to get through some when I was in Hawaii last year, working on Hawaii 5-0, you know, and I just had a shitload of downtime. And I was by myself in Hawaii, so I was like, oh, I'll just bring a bunch of screeners, so when I get sick of walking around and looking at all the gorgeousness, I'll look at a depressing movie. And I watched a lot.
Just keep it even.
Most of them, I was like, really? You think this is great?
Well,
like the one with the genius in the wheelchair, I thought was wildly dull.
Yeah.
And then... was Lincoln last year, or was that the year before?
That was the year before.
Whenever it was.
And then, like, Michael Keaton for Birdman was last year.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like Birdman either.
You didn't?
No.
I hated the drums. I was like, can someone turn these goddamn drums off?
Yeah, I don't know.
These drums are so fucking annoying.
That movie made no sense. I didn't understand it.
But he was great.
Yeah, but he was great in Mr. Mom, which is a great movie.
Yeah.
And I can always watch Mr. Mom... because it's available on streaming services, and I have a copy of it somewhere. I can watch great Michael Keaton, great Michael Keaton, in great movies. I can choose. I don't need to watch Birdman. I was excited to watch Birdman just because it was a lead role with Michael Keaton, which hasn't happened in forever. And then I watched it. I was like, wow, that's it? That's what everybody thinks is great? I don't get it. But I decided after, because I didn't even realize it was the same guy, but I went to see a preview screening with my critic friend of The Revenant. And it's the same director. But I didn't know that going in. Yeah. I had no idea. So I was just excited to see, I like survival movies. I like snowy movies.
Yeah.
You know, I like manliness.
I'm sorry, I like snowy movies.
I'm in the snow.
Why do you like snowy movies?
I don't know. I like snowy, desolate films. I like The Gray. I like that. I like John Carpenter's The Thing. Anything with a lot
Empire,
of snow.
Empire, to you, is the best Star Wars, and because they're on Hoth, a snow planet, you
the
must
best
been...
part of all of the Star Wars movies is the beginning of Empire Strikes Back. But then Empire Strikes Back, once they get off Hoth, is boring. Cause it's like,
you don't like when he's with Yoda?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm going to go ahead and say I prefer Return of the Jedi to Empire Strikes Back. Because
How could you possibly
stop
say,
freaking out?
Because
stop freaking out. We're talking about a series of what can only be described as mediocre adventure movies. They're fine.
Yeah.
And I loved the first Star Wars because I was 5 years old.
Yes.
And it was one of the first movies I saw in the theater.
Yeah.
And it was probably the first live-action movie I saw in the theater. My dad loved it because it reminded him of the old serials he saw growing up. So there was like a thing that happened. And there's a nostalgic thing about the first Star Wars. And Empire was exciting because it was exciting that it was coming.
Yeah.
But I thought it was slow. The talking with Yoda in the fucking swamp and the like having to lift the... Of course he's going to lift the goddamn thing out because Luke's got to get out of here at some point.
So you just saw that went predictable.
It wasn't even that it was predictable. It was just slow.
Yeah.
It was slow moving. At the end, it was fine, but the end happened too quick. Like, we have to slog through the Dagobah swamp shit to finally get to Cloud City and have a good battle there. But it was so quick, and then it ended with a cliffhanger.
So you wanted more action. You'd say there was not nearly enough action.
For an action-adventure film, yes. There was too much talking.
The only way I'll say okay a little bit.
But the Hoth sequence...
The Hoth was great.
It's great. That's part of the problem. They front-loaded the movie.
Like, they did that with Jedi, too, because if you ask me, the first 20 minutes or a half hour of Jedi is phenomenal.
Up to the Sarlacc pit.
Phenomenal.
No, but I like the chase with the things in the forest.
Okay, well, they...
And I'm a sucker for forest. If you put me in a forest, I like snow and forest.
Anything verdant and verdant. Is that verdant or verdant?
I don't know. I don't even know what that word is.
It means very green and lush like that.
I just say I like stuff that's really green.
Green and snow.
If it's like a jungle, I love a jungle movie.
I love a
snowy movie. Yeah, you put shit in a jungle or like a forest or a rainforest especially. But that forest is cool because it has giant sequoia trees, which is great.
Yeah.
But if you put shit in a jungle where there's anacondas and shit or gators, I like alligators and crocodiles and stuff like that. Oh, yeah.
What is it about? Okay, so what is it about jungle? Then you go, I gotta go to see this. So I'm
just lush and there's danger lurking everywhere.
So you must have
never get off the boat.
So shit like Tarzan, even the Disney Tarzan.
I can't wait for the new Tarzan. There's a new Tarzan. The True Blood guy. Oh, yeah, I kind of want to see the new Jungle Book. That's a Favreau movie, right?
But that's why I'm like,
No, but I like, here's the thing about Favreau. Love his kids' movies. I love Elf, and I love Zathura. Those are the only two Favreau movies I really like. Yeah, the rest of them I'm not into.
Everybody's like, Iron Man. I was like, I didn't like the way he shot the action of Iron Man.
I didn't get what the big deal about Iron Man was either. But what I'm telling you is when Favreau does kids stuff, it's great.
Yeah.
And Jungle Book is for kids.
Well, then, wait, I know.
Tarzan, I think, is not for kids. Although Tarzan's probably for kids, too. It's rated PG. But it's got that one of those True Blood guys, I think. Somebody like that.
I want to just backtrack on one thing, then, because I'm sure you saw the new Star Wars movie, then.
The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Which is Star Wars, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi jammed into one fucking movie.
I had big issues with that film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I must admit, when the
it was fine.
I had goosebumps going up.
It was fine. Like all the other Star Wars movies, it's fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the appeal of the very first Star Wars movie because it's not the very first Star Wars movie.
Well, the fact that they use the same plot line how many times are you going to do this Death Star thing? How many times before you go, you know, maybe
this isn't
it? Because it's like, fool me once.
Let's go back
shame
to
Shame on
the,
you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But this is the third time you're doing it?
We should go back to the drawing board on this, maybe.
They have money to kill.
This keeps happening.
What if it's a moon instead of a planet? What if it's a
where?
Instead of a Death Star, a Death Moon.
Death Moon. I don't,
But you know what? The other thing I wanted to say about this, though, is... I think the Jedi, they have these people who keep going to the dark side and killing everything, and I'm thinking maybe they need to do a better screening process.
That's
before
a good point.
You teach anybody. Could there be a little bit more?
Well, I feel like it's like that. They you're born with it. That's the other thing about that. You're born with a strong connection to the Force.
Well, isn't that what people got pissed off about the newer Star Wars, the prequels, is because it was more of a scientific DNA thing as opposed to something you could just tap into? Because that's what Lucas even was really stressing in the first part, is it's just an energy that you can tap into, right?
Well, no, because because the Jedi are like everybody can tap into the Force is sort of what the original trilogy,
yeah,
not the prequel trilogy, was saying.
And then they
but there were people who were strong with it, and those are the people that could become Jedi or whatever the dark side is, the Sith.
So it's like everybody can play basketball.
Right.
But not everybody can be.
But not everybody is Kobe Bryant. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Exactly, exactly. But that's what I was sitting there thinking of. Like, you know what? Maybe they should. Because you got Darth Vader. He wipes everybody out, kills all the Jedi.
Uh-huh.
Then this new kid who I could not stand.
You didn't like the new kid?
I did not. I could not stand it. I know people are like, it's a complex villain. He's got emotion and da-da-da. I'm like, nah, he's kind of a...
Whiny baby.
A little bit of a whiny bitch.
He's a whiny baby.
A little bit of a whiny bitch.
He's a whiny baby.
Yeah.
I have daddy issues.
And then he takes off, and I'm like, dude, I wanted this guy to be more of a badass. I wanted like a cool-cut haircut. Yeah. I wanted a scar or some shit, and he takes this thing, and I'm like, oh, the dude from Girls? This guy?
Yeah,
and he was just like, "What the hell?"
I thought he was fine. I mean, honestly, the new characters, the new cast, I thought were actually pretty good.
Oh, Rey was. I couldn't keep my eyes off her. And, maybe because she was on a big ass screen.
And he was fine. He didn't bother me. But everybody was good, and I thought the most brilliant choice, in the film, because. Spoiler alert. You know what? If you fucking want to see Star Wars and you haven't seen it.
It's been a month.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
One. Two. But I'm about to spoil. I'm going to say the big one. The big one is Harrison Ford's Han Solo falls off a bridge. So.
I like how you didn't completely.
Exhumed.
He slept and fell. Hurt his ankle.
And well, we don't know. We just saw him fall.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you remember that other movie we were talking about called Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
But Luke Skywalker fell off the same thing and just got sucked out of a trash chute.
Yeah, and we don't know if Han tapped into that Force thing either.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he's hanging off an antenna somewhere.
Maybe that he's, you know, if you have sex with Leia because she has the Force, and maybe it's like a...
Right.
Like an STD. You can catch it.
Yeah, in Jedi when the Emperor...
The floor.
Yeah, in Jedi when the Emperor falls down one of those ludicrously... First of all, why are they designing all these places with these bridges and these giant endless pits?
It is a dangerous place to work. It's a very dangerous place to work.
It seems... I don't know. It just seems like bad design.
Why, if these places are so vulnerable, do they not have security all the fucking all over the place?
I don't know.
Like Han and Wookiee walks in there...
I don't know.
Chewbacca walking there. There's nobody there.
Again, this is the problem with the series in general. It's easy to pick apart these gaps in logic at this point, whereas you didn't pay that much attention to it in the original Star Wars because it was novel.
Yeah.
It was novel. And now it's not novel, and you're like, why are they doing the same thing over and over again? And the more they do it, the dumber it seems.
I was pretty upset with the whole redoing the Death Star
thing. Right. So the what I thought was the best bit of work that Kasdan and Abrams did in the new one, because I realized they're jamming the first three together to kind of try and help people forget about the prequels and Jar Jar Binks and all that shit and remember what made the original trilogy so much fun. So now they can go off and make these all new stories.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care. I mean, I'll take my kid to him because he's the right age. But, you know, there's going to be a Star Wars movie every year for the next 6 years. It's crazy.
And I'm a little concerned about that, because I'm thinking it's just might be a little overkill. Like, you know, I don't know about you, these Marvel movies are starting to get a little too much.
Yeah, it's
like overly saturated.
Right.
Like, you know, I remember that one year when Tommy Lee Jones was in like five or six movies in one year, and Sam Jackson, you know, was in like five or something like that. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, I'm tired. Look at these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to see these motherfuckers anymore.
I'm tapping out. I'm a little...
No. I totally agree. But Force Awakens, most brilliant choice that the creators made was this. You make... Because they're going to kill Harrison Ford off, who's arguably the only really good actor from the original cast.
Yeah.
They made Mark Hamill, who's arguably the worst actor from the original cast, the movie's MacGuffin. And he didn't show up till the very end, and he didn't say a goddamn word.
But he did that overly... Was that his choice, or do you think J.J. Abrams, that super... slow.
Yeah, no, it was. But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That it was just that one dumb moment, as opposed to a whole movie full of them.
It was pretty bad. But it's just a slow burn, and it's in regular time.
Yeah,
where you feel like it's a slow motion shot, but he's actually moving in regular speed.
Yeah, right.
And it was pretty a little over dramatic. But that's the thing. Do you put that on him or do you put that on JJ?
I don't know. I don't know whose fault it is, and I don't care. My only point is, it was really funny, I thought, that because, like 20 minutes into the movie, I was like, holy shit, Luke Skywalker is the MacGuffin.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucking great. I think that's great.
So you think he should be just...
I thought they should have kept him the MacGuffin for the rest of the series. They're always looking for Luke Skywalker.
So what if...
I don't know why they had to find him.
So you want them to lose him in the very beginning and try to find him again?
Yeah, that's
in the
just
next film.
Yeah, it's like a Benji movie.
Yeah.
They have a great pet and Luke Skywalker, and then he goes missing.
Yeah, he's on like milk cartons.
Have you seen this Jedi?
But that's the other thing. You know, I was in there thinking too about Jedis is they're not very dependable. Like, when the shit hits the fan, they just take the fuck off.
No.
Like, Obi-Wan took off. Now, I know he went to the
planet.
I know he went to the planet to look over Luke.
Right.
But then when the shit hits the fan, then Luke...
That's a common thing in fantasy stories, though, I think, is that the Jedis are essentially the wizard characters from like, Lord of the Rings. And like, in that Hobbit movie, did you see the Hobbit? Wizard is always Gandalf is always like, I'd go with you, but I gotta go do this other thing. And they get into all kind of trouble, and then he just shows up all of a sudden. He's like, get on those birds! And they're like, oh, thank God, it's birds. Every time they're in trouble, he shows up and fixes it. Why didn't he just hang out with them and all these problems would be averted? And The Hobbit would be 20 minutes long, which would probably be for the best.
You know, that sounded very much to me like Christopher Walken. When you're like, these birds everywhere. It's crazy. When you did that, you're like, these birds.
Giant birds. Yeah. That might be a
biblical thing, too. Because,
right.
Like, I don't know if you've read the Bible, but, you know, I read it.
I read it.
It's like God comes in and goes... You know, like, he goes, all right, boom, here you go, I'm going to set you guys up real nice, da-da-da-da, but don't forsake me. And then they forsake him, and shit goes down, and he comes back, and he saves him, and he goes, okay, but don't forsake me.
Yeah, but, like, that's on God. That's on God. I mean, you know, I'm not a believer in anything that the Bible says.
Oh, no.
Or any religious scripture from any religion. But if I'm to take it at face value... And the Judeo-Christian God concept is a real thing. Guy's an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Guy's a total dick. Here's paradise, but don't eat those apples. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. They look delicious.
Exactly.
Well, if you don't want me to eat them, you're God. Why'd you put them there? Why do you have to test me?
Exactly.
Why do I need to be tested?
There's no teasing. No means, or that's not even a tease. Like, in junior high, when a girl would just kind of touch it there, and then she's like, okay, that's, I'm like, you can't do that. What did you call it?
Yeah.
Not junior high. I mean,
high school. You still kind of have that happen.
I wasn't
still.
Junior. I wasn't that cool in junior high.
Does that still happen? Do you just get a quick touch and they're like, meh, that's it. They give it a little
pretty much
preliminary feel.
Is that all you're working with? Is that all you're working with? Like, testing out. But no, I agree with you. And, you know, that's one of my big things is, like, you know, there's so many stuff in there when you're reading it. And
sure.
When you're reading it, you're like, why would anybody worship this asshole? Because, like, there was this one in Moses when he's coming back. He bounced, right? And then God's like, dude, you gotta go back and save your people.
Sure.
And he goes back, and on his way back, he doubts. He's like, how the fuck am I gonna take on an entire nation, an entire people? Just me and this and my stick.
Yeah.
And God, so he doubted. And God got pissed off, right?
Right.
Pissed off at him, sent down an angel to kill his son. To teach him a lesson to not doubt my power. And the only reason the angel didn't do it, supposedly, is because Moses' wife begged him and pleaded. Said, please don't, please don't, please don't. And the angel was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go out and kill the baby. But then, and so he goes back. Now, shit, mind you, the shit that hit the fan, we went back up there. But it's like, how could you? Why would you worship someone like that? That would kill your yeah. boy. That's your boy. That's yeah. Moses. That's your dude. And he's that, going in.
And in this way, the Bible is much like the Star Wars mythos. It's like the longer you're alive, the more you see the stories, hear the stories over and over again, you start poking holes in that shit. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I'm sure, because, you know, I wonder if, like, I watched Star Wars. It's been a while since I watched the first three mm-hmm. of if I would start poking holes in them, or would, because they're so just nostalgic to me, would I not want to do that? Because, you know, you have that thing in your mind, like a cat, you know, to circle back to the cat and dog. No, it's dogs. Dogs all the way, and yeah, I'm not going to hear anything about it. He's like, no, these movies are fantastic, and I'm not going to hear anybody say anything that Jedi Empire or Star Wars or da-da-da-da. No, because it's so ingrained in you since you were a kid that right. you can't sit there and logically go, okay, that sucked, that sucked, that sucked.
Well,
that sucked.
Yeah, it's like Raiders is still one of my favorite movies of all time, and people always poke holes in the plot of that. Like, basically, if you consider the end of that movie where all the Nazis melt because of the Ark of the Covenant, you know?
Awesome.
And Indiana Jones is there, but he doesn't do anything but close his eyes.
wait a second. Hold the phone. Uh-huh. They set that up in the beginning, remember?
No.
When they open it up and they...
They set it up fine. The point is, the movie is about Indiana Jones. And in the climax of the movie, he does nothing. That's the point people are making.
Oh.
Making his entire adventure journey to the Ark of the Covenant at the end where it melt completely pointless. Like, he's just a guy who's chasing a thing and he never really gets it.
But doesn't he get it and then send it back to the U.S.? And then they just...
No, they take... I don't know. It doesn't matter. Yeah. The point is, I don't agree with that necessarily. I don't care. Yeah. It's just like...
Why does he
like
have to be
journey.
The one to save the day?
Yeah, it's just like a fun journey.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about the first Star Wars. Yeah, because you can point, you know, poke holes in the concept of... So there's one, like, hole on the surface of this battle station that if it gets shot, the whole thing will blow up. Which is like a massive design flaw.
Like, who designed that shit?
Yeah,
it's, and they keep getting Terry. It's like, oh goddamn, Terry! Why do you have to put this whole marble? And well, why like, do we keep getting Terry to make things? And then they seem to get even more vulnerable. Because remember in the first one, they had to get these plans and do all this shit, and they have to get in this little tiny hole. They have to shoot this thing in this little tiny hole, and all these plans and everything. And then the second one, they just fly through there and shoot the thing, the energy, whatever.
Yeah.
And then in this last one, it was just like, there was no secret plans or anything like that. It's just some janitor went, oh, it's right there. You just got to shoot right there.
Yeah, shoot right there. It's no biggie.
And they had no people guarding it, and they could just easily get in there.
Well, deleted a scene from the original that they cut out of the movie.
Yeah.
But you can see it on, like, the special edition or whatever. There's, like, a guy, one of the guys is with Darth Vader, you know, one of the guys with the crazy the helmets or the thing. Like, one of those guys is with Vader, and he's opening up the mail. And Honda had sent a recall notice for the Death Star. So that's what that made it a little bit more believable.
Yeah.
That there was a recall and they were supposed to bring the Death Star in to get that hole fixed.
Yeah.
But they just didn't get around to it before the rebellion. It got to the Death Star. So that's all that was.
Again, that's.
But there was a pacing thing. So they were like, we'll leave it out. Just hope people don't notice how dumb this is.
You know who was. With the this is because Rey so easy on it. She was just wow, you know what I mean? But you know who else I was kind of attracted to? That silver stormtrooper.
Silver stormtrooper.
The one, the badass one, the girl.
Oh yeah,
I was like, she's kind of hot, even though you can't see she's in the silver thing.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, until she was there, like, I'm gonna shoot your head off if you don't give us a plan. She's like, oh, here they are.
Yeah,
I had a little problem with that. That made me. I lost a little attraction, and I hope she doesn't. She didn't die in this. I can't remember.
Honestly, I mean, I saw it before the holidays. I don't remember anything.
Because I hope not. Because that's one of my.
I remember the thing with Harrison Ford at the end, and I remember an alien with bug eyes. And I probably wouldn't even remember the roly-poly robot if somebody hadn't given my kid the roly-poly robot for Christmas.
Does he like the roly-poly over R2?
Well, yeah, because it's in our house and he can move it around with his iPad.
Can't do that with R2.
It's a little remote control.
Oh, really?
And you get an app.
Like a mouse or something where you can... Because that would be kind of a cool little... You flip it upside down... The BB
and use it as a mouse.
Yeah, you could use. That would be a great mouse.
Yeah, it's just a little remote control robot. That's all it is.
But you didn't find that. You didn't find her attractive. That stormtrooper.
I don't even remember that stormtrooper. That's what I'm saying.
She was barely in it. Darth Maul. I mean, Darth Maul was bad ass.
Right.
I think that is the best villain.
Uh huh.
Most badass villain. And I got you're talking about the end of it when they. When he got hit with that lightsaber, because I loved Darth Maul. It's like, why isn't he in this more? And I'm looking forward to seeing him for these next three films.
And then they killed him.
And then, because when they get in that fight, and I forget which one who got him with the lightsaber. And I'm like,
Ewan McGregor, I think.
I think it might, yeah.
Because he kills Liam Neeson.
Yeah, he kills Qui-Gon or whatever his name is.
Yeah, whatever.
And I'm like, he might still be okay. And then he falls down the thing.
And he falls
down. And I go, he still might be okay. He still might be okay. And then when he went and.
That's what I'm saying.
Han
Solo falls off that bridge. Does not fall into a million pieces.
No, he does not.
He just falls down in the hole. Who knows? To be continued. Maybe he's all right.
Maybe he's all right. Yeah, exactly.
They'll just do one of the things like they did with Luke Skywalker. They'll put him in one of those healing
water tanks. Yeah, the cryogenics. Was it? What was it called?
It was a water tube. Healing water tube.
A healing water tube. They just happen to have in this very vulnerable place these healing water tubes. Just in case. It's okay. There's this cavernous thing someone might fall in, but if they do, there's these healing water tubes down at the bottom. They just right in.
They just drop right in, and in about 2 months, you just take them out.
Exactly. We will avoid all kinds of lawsuits because they're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine. Look at them. Yeah. They're fine.
All right. Well, do you have to wrap up your show? Because,
It is about time to take a break for a sponsor.
Oh, okay.
And we'll see if they don't cut us off after our God talk that we just had.
So who's the sponsor?
The sponsor? I don't think I'm allowed to say because
you have a legal thing?
We just lost them.
Oh, you lost the sponsor.
But they're telling me to wrap it up. It was great talking to you.
You too.
If the show's still on.
Let me know next time you take the show to Dubai, because I'll do it there.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to do it here again.
No?
I got to go to Dubai. Or a rainforest. Or a snowy...
What if I just get you your own Winnebago?
And, do it in a Winnebago?
In a Winnebago. Wait. And there's snow outside. In a forest.
Snowy Winnebago forest?
In a jungle. A snowy jungle.
A snowy jungle Winnebago. Winnebago.
And great. We'll do it live in a snowy jungle. Inside of a Winnebago.
The safety of a Winnebago.
Or we could go on top of the Winnebago.
Yeah, well, maybe both. We'll see how bad the weather is.
We'll see how bad the weather is. Well, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. And everybody, I wish you and all your loved ones a happy Taco Tuesday.